What's happening in E3 2019 and more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadget, and gaming news. That's right, this is Latest in Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hey, hit that subscribe button or follow button, whatever it might be right now, so that you don't miss out on the latest news. Also, hold off on that like button if you're watching a video of today's show until you get to a section of the show that you actually like. Don't worry, we're not going to coerce you or bribe you. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, well, air is good. So you could like for air. we'll do that. So, yeah, we got a lot of news coming up today, but I just want to let you guys know right off the bat, back from vacation, had a great old time. I got something going on. I think I'm allergic to something. I went on vacation, I came back, and now I got some red eye thing going on. Don't worry, it's not contagious. I think it's due to allergies. I don't know, but I'll find out. But I had a great week on vacation. Hope you guys had a great week yourself. Hope you're enjoying the summer weather so far. You're able to get out and enjoy. Or if you haven't, hopefully you're enjoying playing Fortnite, which I was able to partake in a little bit of and enjoy myself. And yes, I saw the Ninja and PewDiePie team up for Fortnite Friday. So just in case you were like trying to pull the wool over my eyes, let me know what your favorite parts were about that in the comments section down below. But all this week, I'm going to say the priority or main emphasis of everything going on this week will be E3. Why? Well, because E3 is happening tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. And yes, I know what you're going to say. The hype has already begun over the weekend. You know, Microsoft dropped their announcement, and Bethesda dropped their announcement and their live stream, and a couple other companies dropped their live stream announcements. And it's all a big hype before the show actually drops off. Not drops off, but kicks off tomorrow. So they're hyping it up as they can, trying to get everybody interested, trying to squeeze everybody they can into it. So yeah, we'll be taking a look at that and more. So yeah, but before we can get to that, did you know? That kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting to wind up for a dramatic pause, and then that stupid thing interrupted it. Thank you. By the way, did you know that HAL Laboratory, the developer responsible for Kirby, Mother, and the Super Smash Bros. Series, was named HAL, H-A-L, because each letter put them ahead of IBM. In case you didn't know that, well, consider yourself informed. All right, moving right along to today in tech history. Somebody's calling me on the phone, but I can't answer it right now. So being that today is June 10th, 2019, on this day in 1858, two ships head out to begin work on what will become the first operational transatlantic cable. Previous attempts at laying a transatlantic cable had failed. Designed for telegraph operation, the cable run is completed on August 5th, and the first test message is sent on August 12th. However, the cable fails on September 18th, and repair was not possible at that time. Also, on this day in 1977, for all you Apple Mac fans, the Apple II shipped today. The Apple II came out, the first in a long line of related computers. The original model cost a whopping $1,298 and came with 4 kilobits of RAM that, don't worry guys, you could upgrade to 48 and had sound and color graphics. It also had the basic programming language built in, which made programming very easy. And Apple II sold particularly well in schools, and with the arrival of the VisiCalc spreadsheet program in the small business market as well. And it just seemed to work easier and smoother that way in terms of graphics and coding and things of that. But not to be outdone, I guess Linux came out with their own product, and Windows soon to follow. So with that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. Ugh, something got my eye. Oh, is that E3? Hello, E3. Well, E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. I believe I got all three E's right, in case you're wondering. E cubed? Squared? Something? I don't know. 2019 is happening. Tomorrow. Not today. And I know what you guys are like. Well, the live streams all hit it off on what was all going on. I forgot to cover what today's topics were going to be. Well, we're going to be covering E3, the xCloud, Gmail's dynamic email, Pixel 4, and playing Doom on your mobile device. Anyways, that's besides the point. We got a lot of news to get to today. So E3 is happening June 11th to 13th in Los Angeles, and it's shaping up to be a bit of an in-between year. Nintendo Switch sales have finally started slowing, but the company's a way off from its next-gen console. Microsoft and Sony will be offering info on theirs soon, but we likely won't be seeing much outside of what Microsoft has dropped so far for their newest project, their Xbox project that they dropped. So still, there'll be plenty to see next. Well, this coming, here's what we're expecting so far. Google, of all companies, made the biggest splash at GDC back in March, announcing Stadia, its live streaming gaming service. Look for Microsoft to hit back this week with a lot more information surrounding its competitor, Project xCloud. Now, TechCrunch wrote this article a couple of days ago before it actually hit, so it dropped kind of on that, and Stadia... there you go, there. That about sums up... Project xCloud and Stadia, and you're like, well, it sounds like Stadia is better, but I don't like the whole fact that I have to buy the full game in order to stream it. Google, what are you doing? But we could get a glimpse of some next-gen hardware at the event as well, though that's likely to amount to a little more than a brief sneak peek. However, we will be getting a good look at Gears 5, which they covered, the latest entry in one of the console's most beloved franchises. Speaking of, look for your gameplay time with Halo Infinite. And yes, the trailer dropped. It looked awesome. I'm excited. And then I finished it and I went, what the heck happened? Now I have to play the whole game again prior to that to figure out why is Master Chief in the situation he's in? Don't worry, I'm not spoiling the trailer for you guys. Go ahead, watch it. Let me know. We're also looking for a dozen more titles, including Age of Empires and a new Fable. As for Nintendo, with a June 28 release date, there won't be many surprises left for Super Mario Maker 2 by the time E3 rolls around. It might be highlighted into Pokemon Sword and Shield. Upcoming Animal Crossing for Switch seems like a pretty good bet. Also be on the lookout for Luigi's Mansion 3, Fire Emblem Three Houses, and the Switch version of Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Now... here, I'm going to input one thing right now that I would love to see announcement-wise. We've had it like 3 or 4 years ago in the past, and then it was canceled, and then it was dropped and picked up by another publisher on a different console. If you don't know what game I'm talking about, I've covered it like several months ago on this channel, and then a couple years ago when it was first announced that it was canceled. Yes, I'm talking about Scalebound. It came out at E3 as a demo. Came out with a title, trailer, title, everything. Like in 2014, 2015. Debuted at E3, and then it just kind of fell off the map, and 2017 rolled around and got canceled. And then, earlier this year, it got picked up, and there might be rumors now swirling around regarding Scalebound for the Nintendo Switch. Please, please, please let this one prediction of mine... here's my one prediction that I'm going to make this entire E3. I hope that they talk about Scalebound. And if you don't know what game I'm talking about, Google it. Google it, watch the trailer, you'll be like, wow, that looks like one heck of a game. Yeah. So, also in terms of Sony, nothing. Because, well, seriously, nothing. The PlayStation 5 is just around a corner, and Sony pulled out of... being an event at all, period. So it's not going to be there much. In terms of publishers, Marvel's Avengers is going to be a huge one from RPG Star Wars Square Enix. Speaking of which, they're probably talking about it right now on the live stream announcements. We've heard very little about the eagerly awaited title. It's probably been covered so far. As for Ubisoft, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Rainbow Six Siege, and Tom Clancy's The Division are all on tap. Doom Eternal and Wolfenstein Youngblood are big titles for Bethesda this year, which they probably covered, plus Elder Scrolls Online and Fallout 76. So, TechCrunch is there, obviously covering all of it. And if we're moving on to our next article, it looks like the top 15 biggest announcements that we have so far. So that article was kind of like a precursor into the highlights that we'd be looking forward to this year. Let's see what holds true so far, being that today's the day before. So Let's see. The biggest announcements. Number one, the next Xbox, codenamed Project Scarlet, will launch in holiday 2020. They will have many of the same features Sony previously announced for its next-gen PlayStation, including a solid-state drive for vastly improved loading times, thank goodness, and the ability to support 8K resolution and 120 frames per second. A new Halo game called Halo Infinite will launch along with the new Xbox in 2020 when it releases. And yes, there's a trailer. By the way, if you want the links to all of the articles we cover in today's show, head on over to technewsgadget.net, and you can click away to your heart's content. If you're watching this, go ahead and do that. And if you're listening to this, you actually get the article links right in the podcast that you're listening to right now. Awesome. Amazing. Right? And you can watch the video. So, also, Keanu Reeves decided to drop the mic at the event. He came out and he announced Cyberpunk 2077, one of the most anticipated games, will be launching on April 16th, 2020. And yes, he will be playing a role in the game as well. And they got a trailer that goes along with that as well. Another one that I'm really excited about, Electronic Arts showing off gameplay from Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which will be a story-driven action title that the game's creators say is officially Star Wars canon. This one I'm really looking forward to. I watched the gameplay. It seems smooth. I watched the trailer. I know. You get confused. EA, Electronic Arts, please don't mess up this game. I tweeted about it a couple of days ago when the trailer first dropped. Don't mess this up. Please don't mess this up. I really want a good Jedi game. I mean, the only other ones that I have are like, I can name on like two fingers. There aren't really a lot of good Jedi games to go around. I want to have a good, enjoyable Star Wars Jedi game that has a great story and great action and great sword fighting. You want to know the only game that could possibly do better than you in any of this? Shadow of War. Shadow of Mordor. That title. Okay? If you can get to like that level of gameplay, fighting, a whole bunch of fun stuff going on, I will enjoy it just as much as I enjoyed The Lord of the Rings. So please don't mess it up. Also, big announcement, Gears 5, the fifth installment in Gears of War, will launch on September 10th? 20th? Wow, is that even a word? They also have a trailer that goes along with it. We won't be playing any of the titles. I know you're wondering, hey, are you going to play any of the titles? No, I'm not going to play any of the titles, because if I did, the show would be like 2 hours long. Also, the creators of Dark Souls and the creator of Game of Thrones are working together on a new title. From Software, the company behind Dark Souls, is working with Game of Thrones scribe George R.R. Martin on a new game called Eden Ring. Don't know much about it, but you can check out the trailer to catch some of the vibes. Also, The Outer Worlds, a new RPG from the original makers of Fallout, will be launching on October 25th. Square Enix announced its remake of Final Fantasy VII, which will launch on March 3rd, 2020. The trailer to go along there. Microsoft's Xbox Studios has acquired Double Fine Production, the developer behind Psychonauts and the upcoming Psychonauts 2. So they had a video that went along with that. Also, Microsoft unveiled a new version of its Elite controller. Series 2 has an internal rechargeable battery this time around, which can provide up to 40 hours of playtime on a single charge. It'll also have Bluetooth and its own charging dock. Also, Ghostwire Tokyo is a beautiful looking action game from the creators of Evil Within. Ori and the Will of the Wisps, an anticipated sequel to the 2015 game Ori and the Blind Forest, will release on February 11th. 2020. And fans finally saw more of Doom Eternal, the sequel to the 2016 hit Doom, which launches November 22nd. Also, Deathloop is a mind-bending game from the creators of Dishonored, which revolves around two rivals that seem destined to kill each other. Who will survive and who will fall, and what does that mean for the rest of the game going forward? No idea. It's really interesting. And then Microsoft is letting you play your Xbox One games anywhere, thanks to a new remote play feature starting this October. So that's what we're looking at so far. E3 2019, the best games outside of that it looks like the people at Popular Mechanics are looking forward to are, well, a sampling that some of them are hoping to see appear, and a few titles that should definitely be showing up unannounced. Rumors are, we're hoping to hear something of Metroid Prime 4. Got a glimpse back in 2017, haven't heard much about it since, they've been kind of quiet about it. It's unlikely Nintendo will have much to share about the game this year, but at some point, you're going to have to unveil something. Well, Metroid Prime 4, possibly? Also, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So, you should be hearing more about that. And we know they dropped the reveal trailer for it. Hoping for more insight into the throwback Easter eggs fans who have been there from the beginning of the series can expect. Man of Medan or the Dark Pictures Anthology. So they're hoping to see more about that. It's set to debut in August 2019, but aside from a few trailers, additional details about this third-person adventure game are still relatively unknown. So we'll have to find out more about Man of Medan. Also, Sayonara Wild Hearts, it's a Nintendo Switch indie game that combines heavily stylized, colorful artwork with vocal pop music, 90s anime tropes, and a distillation of Tumblr culture into one nostalgia-charged video game. See about that one, hopefully. Also, Doom Eternal is set to make an appearance in several capacities, and at this point, it's just going to be like slipping into a pile of warm, cuddly blankets. You'll get to become the Doom Slayer once more as you take on hordes of demons as they've taken to Earth for their own. Your only recourse, you're going to rip and tear, of course, using a super shotgun, rocket launcher, plasma rifle, and yes, the beloved BFG 9000. Also looking at Splinter Cell, possibly. Ubisoft has some explaining to do when it comes to the Splinter Cell franchise. Is this going to be part of their 2020 lineup or not? We'll find out. So, yeah, in 2019... Ubisoft CEO noted that pressure from the company when it comes to continuing the series has been something of a hurdle for them, and that's part of why we haven't seen a new Splinter Cell just yet. With that said, what better time than now to rip the Band-Aid off and show off a new entry, if any teasers as well. You know, we gotta see King of Stout. Something. Also, No More Heroes 3. Now, they did drop the Nintendo Switch trailer, so we're hoping to more announcements around that. As for Animal Crossing, nothing will completely kill an afternoon like settling in and starting up a new town in Animal Crossing. That's why the wait for the newly announced core Animal Crossing game has been kind of difficult for some people to wait on. With Nintendo about to show its hand when it comes to E3 plans, it's about time for additional news on what to expect for Animal Crossing. First got wind in September of 2018. Haven't heard anything since then. So hopefully... we hear more about that. So that wraps up most of what we are able to deduce so far for E3 2019. By the way, guys, what are your thoughts? Are you looking forward to anything? Anything revealed so far that you're excited about? Let us know down in the comment section. What are your predictions for this year? That's what I'd be interested in. You've heard my predictions, my thoughts. So I'd love to hear what yours are. You could drop that in the comment section. We'd love to start a conversation. It's kind of been draining for me this entire past week going on vacation and driving around and everywhere and having to settle back into the everything going on. So yeah, kind of crazy, but definitely, well, worth it. So with that to be said, well, we'll have to wait for tomorrow to officially kick off E3 to find out what actually is all out there to be unveiled and everything going on. And I'll just be me and you from the comfort of our own homes waiting for news to arrive. So, with that being said, let's head on over to our next article. Alright, so E3 gadget related, Microsoft xCloud. Now, I know you're wondering, comparison-wise, how does it stack up against Google Stadia? Well, TechCrunch had a man on the ground there, and at E3, Microsoft is letting the media test out their previously announced service, xCloud. So the author here spent a bit of time with both Google Stadia and Microsoft xCloud. So how do they compare? Well, the article goes on to state, the biggest difference is that we know bizarrely little about xCloud. While many expected the service to be the main topic of discussion at the Xbox E3 event, that they had a couple of days ago. The service was mentioned for mere seconds as executives focused their energies on the Xbox Game Pass and the upcoming Project Scarlet hardware. Pricing, exact release dates, device support, and internet requirements, as well as internal requirements of xCloud, are all still up in the air. We know it's coming later this year for public use, just as Stadia is, but there's still a lot of question marks. But here's what we're working with the demo of the server-based gaming on xCloud. Much like Stadia, xCloud is a streaming service that abides by the laws of nature, like speed of light. So latency is a thing. On the topic of lag, which is one of the big viability questions with these kind of cloud gaming platforms, it seems like Microsoft's solution is in lockstep with Google Stadia. The naked eye can only detect so much, especially in a demo environment where the environment is set up to be perfect, but streaming in LA from servers based in the Bay Area didn't really cause any major problems, as they demoed a couple titles briefly. The easiest way to showcase the latency on these systems seems to be picking up an in-game gun and finding the length of time that passes between trigger press and muzzle flash. It was perceptible, and more so than when I'm playing at home, but likely only because they're directing all of their attention to that metric. Now, when it came to frame rate slowing and the resolution streaming, the brief demos held up, though, again, this is also a tech platform that's all about having network perfection in place, and demo environments are pretty unreliable representations of standard scenarios. Now, they did see a couple hiccups in their Stadia demo, though a system restart rectified them. They didn't have any issues on xCloud, though the demo environments were different in each demo. One big question mark is whether Xbox is going to release a specialized controller that connects to the xCloud directly to cut down on latency. Stadia has already done this, but this won't make as big a difference to a lot of Xbox One users who likely won't bother with buying a new controller to shave off a few milliseconds. That said, as you can see, there were some xCloud-specific branding on the Xbox controllers they use, so there could be some developments here. Stadia requires a 35 megabytes per second download connection in order to play 4K games. Don't know anything about the xCloud standards here, but imagine expectations should be kept fairly similar, though you might have to worry about both ends of the equation if you're streaming from your personal Xbox on a home network to a mobile device elsewhere. So what's a bit fascinating is how both Google and Microsoft chose to showcase the advances in their streaming technology. While Google showcased Stadia as a console replacement, xCloud's demo reframed the service as a way to bring console gaming on the go. Now, this isn't entirely revolutionary, as services like Sony's Remote Play offered some of this functionality, but the scope of support could be a bit larger here. Their demo was on a Samsung Galaxy device attached to an Xbox One controller. They haven't heard details on the scope of supported mobile devices, but given that Stadia is only launching on a Pixel 3 and 3A, even with the latest Samsung Galaxy devices, Microsoft could already have Google beaten there right out of the gate. So it felt different playing a console-level title with a phone screen. You'll have wildly different expectations of what your phone can handle because you've spent years with limited mobile games while open-world RPGs have been out of reach. Mobile processors have gotten more beefy, but pushing graphics that have teraflops of power behind them is a very cool experience, though it does make at least the author wish that Microsoft had a mobile system or a controller that was a little bit more phone-friendly, because the current solution feels like it was hacked together. On the topic of value, they know that the console streaming for existing console owners will be free. Similarly, know that 1080p streaming on Stadia will be free once you buy games on the platform, though if you want 4K resolution, you'll have to pony up $10 per month. Don't know if xCloud is going to have any limitations on console streaming users, but, well, hopefully we'll hear more. If not, I don't know. I seem a little bit more optimistic about Google Stadia. It seems like they definitely have something going for them. They definitely want to get their foot in the door. They definitely want to be a contender to be rivaled with. If not out in front of the crowd and gathering up market share well before everybody else decides to hop on the bandwagon. So hopefully they play their cards right. And if they do, they might just be able to capitalize on all of it and somehow push not only Mac and Apple and the Windows and the PC and the Linux, and then go, hey, guess what? Google plays on everything. And guess what? We covered the markets and everywhere. So that's my thoughts. Moving on to some more news, Gmail's dynamic email will be available to everyone starting on July 2nd. So What does that mean? Well, you can RSVP to an event or fill out a survey without ever leaving your inbox. Now, you'll soon be able to do a lot more in Gmail without ever leaving your inbox. Google will make AMP-powered dynamic emails for Gmail available to the general public on July 2nd following a beta release to paying G Suite customers earlier this year. You've undoubtedly encountered AMP or accelerated mobile pages if you've opened a link on your phone. It's a Google-built protocol that can load web pages using it a lot more quickly. With AMP and Gmail, users perform web-based tasks right in their inbox, such as filling out forms, RSVPing to an event, responding to an edit in Google Docs, or browsing images in a carousel. The feature will only be available for Gmail on the web, with mobile due to come at an unspecified date. It's likely you've already seen it in action. Earlier this year, Google cleared several of its partners to send out dynamic emails, including Booking.com, Despegar, Doodle, Equid, Freshworks, Next, OYO Rooms, Pinterest, and Redbus. Redbus? I don't know. While the list will likely get bigger, don't expect an onslaught of dynamic emails right away. Before being cleared for AMP support, Google does a privacy and security vetting of each partner. And I got a little demo of it going on here on the screen. And if you're listening to the podcast, you're totally missing out on the whole video aspect of it. We have pictures and everything. So that's what we got. July 2nd, expect to see a little bit more dynamic emails. Moving on to some gadget news. Well, Pixel 4, it leaked. It looks like an iPhone 11 copycat. When you're typically supposed to be thinking of something new, different, outside of the box, what are you guys doing copycatting each other? So, well, let's take a look back. For as compelling as a Pixel 3 is, Google is seemingly prepared to take things to the next level with the launch of its next-gen Pixel 4. And with the release date now less than 6 months away, we've started to see a steady stream of Pixel 4 leaks emerge over the past few weeks. Hardware aside, the design of the Pixel 4 is particularly intriguing, giving a bevy of rumors that we may see a brand new form factor. The latest renders to hit the web depict a nearly edgeless display as evidenced below. Ooh, it looks juicy. Now, what's particularly interesting here is the camera bump on the rear side of the device, a design that is quite similar to many of the iPhone 11 leaks that we've seen so far. According to OnLeak, the report notes, we can expect at least two cameras inside the square bump, if not three. Google Pixel phones are known for their camera prowess, and this will be the first time Google is using multiple camera lenses on the rear of the device. As far as other Pixel 4 specs are concerned, SlashLeaks notes that Google's next-gen smartphone will not include front-firing speakers or physical fingerprint scanner. There are also rumblings that the Pixel 4 will boast 6 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage at a bare minimum. Now, it's worth noting that some of the other Pixel 4 leaks we've seen feature an entirely different design, which is to say that this rumor, like others, should be taken with a grain of salt. As a point of interest, some of the previous Pixel 4 renders looked more like, well, this or this. So, remains to be seen what we'll actually be winding up with. And our final article for today, yes, we have some gaming news, and yes, for all you Doom players, sign up now to play it on your iPhone later this year. So Doom fans will soon be able to play the game on their iOS device without having to use up a ton of storage space. During E3, Bethesda Softworks, the publisher behind the popular game, said it will be testing a new streaming technology called Orion later this year. The test will allow you to play Doom on any iOS device running iOS 11 or above, and it will be free for everyone. Bethesda is referring to Orion as techniques for game streaming rather than a specific streaming service. The idea is to create a high-quality, lag-free experience. When it comes to doing that in a streaming format, well, things can get a little bit complicated, so hopefully they'll sort that out. I'll have the test. Things will go fine. If you want to give it a try, you just have to register to be part of the trial on Bethesda's website. When you do, Bethesda will contact you when the trial begins. So that's Bethesda.net, but there is a link there as well. So hopefully we hear more news about that as well. I don't know. I'm burned out just trying to figure out everything that's going on at E3. Ay, ay, ay. Well, and with that wraps up this episode of the latest in tech news. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. And let me be the first to announce that this week we will be having shows and the following week I am on vacation again. You're like, Taylor, you just came back from a vacation last week. I know. See, June is usually my vacation month, and seeing as how I'm doing a show, I kind of had to split myself in half, so essentially it'll be 2 weeks of vacation and 2 weeks back. So if you can just bear with me, that'll be fine. We'll have shows all this week covering everything E3. Next week will be vacation, and the week after we'll be back to our normal standard operating procedure. The latest in tech news can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to let us know by clicking that like button and leaving a comment. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss out on the latest tech news. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. Remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. See, that was so relaxing. That was so enjoyable. This is my sound of my voice after a week of vacation. Unstressed, I don't know, centered, whatever you want to call it. Anyways, I gotta go. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys. I'll see you on the flip side.
I did it!